Welcome to Update One, the new podcast from the National Press Club. I'm your host, Mike Hempen. On this show, we'll focus on the recent developments in the space industry. The guest is Frank Mooring Jr., the senior editor space at Aviation Week in Space Technology, and he's also a Press Club member. Frank, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Mike.
As you know better than anyone, there are always many developments in the space industry with various nations. It just seems like new developments never end within the space industry.
That's true. China has become only the third nation in history to soft land on the moon. They put down a robotic lander with a rover in what's called the Sea of Rains on this side of the moon.
We can touch on that a little bit later on. But first of all, let's talk about the U.S. space program. And, of course, the shuttle fleet retired a couple of years ago. If you can talk about why it was retired, how long ago, just give a little background in that regard.
Okay, the last shuttle mission was in 2011. It was a mission to the space station, International Space Station, which was built with the capabilities of the space shuttle, a large cargo capacity, robotic arm, the ability to dock and so forth, and to return intact to Earth. There were two fatal accidents during the course of the shuttle program, which lasted 30 years. And it was extremely expensive to fly. They were running out of spare parts, was one of the reasons NASA decided to stop the shuttle program after the second accident and after they finished building the space station. The three surviving space shuttle orbiters are now in museums around the country.
Now, let's talk about astronauts. Obviously, they're still going to the International Space Station. How are they getting there?
Right now, the only way for astronauts from any country to get to the space station is on the Russian Soyuz capsule. The Soyuz is a three-seat capsule, compared to the space shuttle, very simple, very small. Nowhere near as capable in terms of cargo or robotics or any of that sort of thing, but it's very reliable. And it actually, even before the shuttle retired, served as the lifeboat for the space station. They always keep a seat in a Soyuz capsule for every astronaut on board the space station. And now that's the only way to get there.
And how long will this situation last?
It's hard to say. It depends on when the United States can begin flying to the space station with what they call commercial crew vehicles. Best guess right now is 2017. These are privately developed vehicles with, of course, a lot of taxpayer money in the mix as well. It's part of a conscious decision on the part of NASA to shift access to low Earth orbit, which is where the space station is, to the private sector, and to actually pay as a paying passenger rather than to develop a vehicle and travel on it. And right now there are four different vehicles in development to fill that role. And it's a competition.
When we talk about the Obama administration, we usually hear about a federal government shutdown or the healthcare overhaul plan or the budget, something along those lines. But obviously the administration also has a blueprint on NASA and on the space program. What is the administration's approach to the space program?
Well, this administration has changed the direction substantially. And I mentioned the commercial crew vehicles. Under the previous administration, under George W. Bush's administration, NASA had started working on commercial access to the space station for cargo. That has actually happened now. There was a program called the Commercial Orbital Transportation Services, typically known as COTS, which is now delivering cargo to the space station through two companies, a California company called SpaceX and a company in Dulles, Virginia called Orbital Sciences. Both have built vehicles that can reach the space station with substantial loads of cargo. That's the major policy change under the Obama administration, the shift to commercial flight. And initially, that was going to be it. However, Congress weighed in, and so there's also an in-house NASA development for a very heavy lift rocket called the Space Launch System. It's on the order of the Saturn V, the moon rocket from the 60s. And there's also a four-seat capsule that would be, both of are designed to take astronauts beyond low Earth orbit into what's called deep space, although deep space, for all practical purposes, starts in lunar orbit. And there, right now the plan is to go back to lunar orbit maybe as early as 2017, 2018 with this new capsule just to practice operating there.
What about the Mars probes and rovers? What are the status of some of those?
Well, right now there are two rovers operating on the surface of Mars. One of them is one of the old Mars exploration rovers. There were two initially. One of them has stopped working. It's way past its service life. The other one is still plugging along. There's also a new rover called Curiosity, which landed in the summer of 2012. It's nuclear powered. It's going to go a long time. And it's finding fascinating evidence that liquid water flowed on the surface of Mars. It's working in the floor of an equatorial crater called Gale Crater, which has a very tall mountain in the middle of it. And eventually it's going to climb that mountain. And it's equipped with a lot of robotic chemistry labs, as a way to think of them, that are going along analyzing the rocks and soil. And the idea is to find out as much as they can about the habitability of ancient Mars. And they believe that there was a lake where the rover is now a billion years ago. And they're hoping to find evidence of the chemical basis of necessary for life, if not life itself. And they're very careful not to say we're looking for evidence of ancient life, although if they found it, I think they would tell us.
You'd certainly hope so.
Yes.
Earlier, we talked about the Chinese space program mm-hmm. and the success it's had very recently. I know the U.S. and China have always had more or less of a cold relationship regarding their space programs, but I also know Congressman Frank Wolf, a Republican from Virginia, is retiring after 17 terms in office. Could that change the relationship between the U.S. and China?
It's conceivable, depending upon how China and the United States behave in other areas, I think. Frank Wolf is a very staunch human rights advocate, and he's very critical of governments, authoritarian governments, he calls them, like the Chinese government, that oppress their people one way or another. He's particularly interested in religious freedom. And he's also the chairman of the House Appropriations Subcommittee that funds NASA. So he's got a lot of influence in the civil space program in this country. And he is the author of it's actually written into the NASA appropriation from, I believe, fiscal 2011, that NASA is forbidden to spend money to cooperate in space with China. And China, as you know, is going ahead. We mentioned the lunar landing. They also have a small space station in orbit right now. They visited it twice with crews. They are actually only the third nation to put crews into space with their own vehicles. So, and they would very much like to cooperate with us on a lot of levels. With Frank Wolf stepping down at the end of next year, maybe the attitude will soften a little bit in Congress. There are others who think that we should be more engaged with the Chinese instead of having this sort of Cold War approach to them. It's interesting. He just asked President Obama to go back to the moon in very much a space race kind of approach with the Chinese as the opponent.
I wanted to wrap up here talking about national security. Obviously, there's a lot of national security aspects to space. And in terms of the U.S., what do you think are the main U.S. priorities right now when it comes to national security?
Right now, it's probably what they call space situational awareness, just being aware of what's up there. Our economy, the economy of the world, really, at this point, is very dependent on space assets, the communication satellites, and a lot of our military activities are also dependent upon commercial space activities. If you call, if you have a relative in the service over in Afghanistan, you call them, you're probably going to go through a commercial satellite. Some of the drones, I think, are operated using commercial satellite links. So satellites are a very sensitive and military asset, I guess you could call them, really unprotected by anything other than their distance and the difficulty of getting to them. It's hard to get to geostationary orbit, which is where most of these operate. We talked about Frank Wolf. This has also been one of his concerns in addition to the human rights aspects. And he pointed out in a letter to the director of National Intelligence, which also went out this week, that the Chinese have sent a missile pretty close to geostationary space, which is the point at which satellites don't appear to move over the surface because their speed of their orbit matches the rotation of the Earth. And he said this could be part of an anti-satellite weapon. So that's the concern, that China has done an anti-satellite test in low Earth orbit, and if they're working on one in geostationary space, that would be a major concern for the U.S. military. The other side of that coin is shooting down a satellite would be comparable to, bombing a city. I mean, it's not something that the Chinese or anybody else would do lightly. Those are fairly vulnerable assets, and we want to be as aware as we can of what's going on up there.
Any other concerns for U.S. lawmakers? Or would that be the major one?
Well, there's the technology transfer concern. We have fairly strict laws about keeping military technology in this country. It's called International Trade and Armaments Regulations, ITAR. And particularly for launch vehicles, those are very strict to keep the kind of technology that a China or an Iran could use to improve their ability to have long-distance rocket-based weapons that could be used against us or our friends.
Let me ask you one final question. You mentioned drones. Recently, Amazon came out with the idea of using drones to deliver packages. Mm-hmm. Do you see the use of drones expanding in the future?
Oh, certainly. I'm not sure about the Amazon idea, but I mean, they're expanding every day.
Very interesting idea. I know it caught the eye of a lot of people, and we'll have to see how that develops. Frank, thanks for your time. I've enjoyed it.
Well, so have I. Thank you for asking me.
Frank Mooring Jr., the senior editor of Space at Aviation Week and Space Technology, has been the guest on this edition of Update One. Remember, you can comment on this show or previous shows by going to the Press Club's Facebook page at facebook.com/PressClubDC or on Twitter by going to @PressClubDC. Are you impacted at all by Obamacare? That's the topic of the next Update One. I'm Mike Hempen. Thanks for listening to Update One.